It's Pastor Matt Kennedy here from the Parks Baptist Church. Wonderful to have you with us today as we look at the Word of God. Years ago, I read about a railway that conducted an experiment. It purchased two new locomotives. One was kept in constant service, regardless of Sunday. In the use of the other, late each Saturday, they pulled its fire and released the steam. On Sunday, it was allowed to cool down, thus re-tempering its metal. Then it was fired up again on Monday. Over the years, they found that they had less maintenance and trouble with the latter than the former. If rest one day each week was so beneficial to a piece of machinery, how much more does the fragile, delicate human body and spirit need it? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, myself, Lord included, the ears to hear. We just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the third part of our new Bible series based on the Ten Commandments. So far, we've looked at the first three commandments. The first being, can you remember it? Yes, you shall have no other gods before me. The second, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And the third, can you remember it? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This week, we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment. What's that one? Have a go. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So before we go too far, I'm firstly wanting to spell out for us what I actually mean when I talk about the Sabbath. So what is the Sabbath? What does it mean? What does the word Sabbath mean? Well, it means to cease or desist. It's a day that God has instigated as being a designated day of rest for his people. As the passage states, it's a day set aside from the rest of the week as a holy day, a day for all people to cease from the toil of work, to rest and to bring worship to God. Just like with the other commandments that we've looked at so far, this is another commandment that we as believers tend not to understand and even break as well. So in my experience, the Sabbath day can be a fair issue of contention. There are some major arguments as to what you can do on the Sabbath day and even when the Sabbath day actually is. Some say it's a Saturday, which is the last day of the week, while others, like us at the Parks Baptist Church, we hold our Sabbath on the first day of the week, on the Sunday. Both groups are fairly adamant as to why they have a Sabbath on the day that they have it. So let's firstly look briefly at that issue. Let's have a look at the difference. So traditional being, if we were to look at the Old Testament, the day of rest, or what was called the Sabbath, was on the last day of the week, which is a Saturday. In fact, the Jews started their Sabbath officially from sunset on the Friday until the third star is visible after sunset on the Saturday. That was their Sabbath day. Now, this for us as a Protestant background, it might seem a bit confusing. You might ask, why does this Sabbath start on a Friday evening instead of on the Saturday itself? Well, the reason for that is that the Jewish tradition has each day, not just the Sabbath, start at sunset. While our days start and finish at 12 a.m., for instance, the Jewish tradition has the start and end point where the sun goes down. So Tuesday, for instance, starts at sunset on the Monday evening and finishes being Tuesday at sunset on the Tuesday evening, when Wednesday originally or officially starts. So this is how they understand their days based on the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "And there was evening and there was morning." And then it goes on to designate the day, the first day, the second day, the third day, etc., etc. So from this reading of Genesis, that is how they would base what a day looks like. There was a fair bit of prep work that would have to happen on their Sabbath as well, just to give a bit of information there. on the Friday afternoon, because everything had to be set up and ready for them to go from the moment that the Sabbath started. This included things like having the dining plates and utensils and stuff like that ready, all the food prepared that they were going to be eating, all ready to go for the Sabbath period, which was celebrated on the last day of the week. J. Vernon McGee tells a story about a man who wanted to argue about the Sabbath. The man said, "I'll give you $100 if you will show me where the Sabbath day has been changed." McGee answered, "I don't think it has been changed. Saturday is Saturday, and it is the seventh day of the week, and it is the Sabbath day. I realize our calendar has been adjusted and can be off a few days, but we won't even consider that point. The seventh day is still Saturday, and is still the Sabbath day." He got a gleam in his eye and said, "Then why don't you keep the Sabbath day if it hasn't been changed?" To which McGee answered, "The day hasn't changed, but I have been changed. I've been given a new nature now. I am joined to Christ. I am part of the new creation. We celebrate the first day because it is the day that he rose from the grave. That is what it means that the ordinance have been nailed to the cross in Colossians 2:14. So if God instigated the Sabbath to be on the seventh day of the week, a Saturday, why do so many Christians celebrate the Sabbath on the first day of the week, the Sunday, like we do, instead of the last day of the week? Why this actual change from the Sabbath being a Saturday to a Sunday? Well, it's believed that this change came about in the life of the early church. Firstly, let's briefly look at the origins and then at the reason why it was changed. So scholars point to two verses in particular to verify the change. Acts 27, where it says, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight." This passage seems to be an example of the church service like we know it today, except it was in a person's house and the preacher speaks way longer than 25 minutes. But you'd have to notice that it was held on the first day of the week. We see something similar in 1 Corinthians 16:2, where Paul gives the churches in Corinth an instruction which is to be completed on the first day of the week, presumably on the day that they would meet together. 1 Corinthians 16:2, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your incomes, saving it up so when I come, no collection will have to be made." Okay, so we can see when the church may have made this move from a Saturday to the Sunday. So now let's quickly look at why the early church made this move. This move from one day to the next was not originally a move based on biblical law or doctrine, but it was instead made by the early church based on the understanding that we as believers were no longer under the covenant based on law, but we're instead under a new covenant, a covenant of grace, forged by the blood of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ became central to this move. Let's take a look at this special day and why it has been moved. The original Sabbath was part of God's day of creation, if you remember. God created this on that day and day one, and he created that on day two, all the way through to day six. And on the seventh day, he rested. Well, the early Christians have made the Sabbath on the first day of the week based on something similar. So there are three key components that we need to quickly look at that have been put together as to why the early church changed the Sabbath. Firstly, the Christians at the time recognized Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath, as seen in Matthew 12:8. "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Secondly, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, rose from the dead on the first day of the week, as we see in John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And thirdly, those who were followers of Jesus are described as a new creation in Christ. And we can see this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The early church saw that they saw that we were a new creation in Christ. So just like God rested on the seventh day of the week after creation, so too of the early Christians put aside the first day of the week when Jesus rose again from the grave, when Jesus rose again and finished the new creation that can be found in Christ. So it was for these reasons, combined with the combined that the early Christians have made the first day of the week the day of the Sabbath, because of the things we've just looked at. So that's why the Jewish Sabbath starts on a Friday night, and why we as a Christians, or we as Christians, celebrate the Sabbath on a different day to the original. So when we look at this commandment, what does it tell us about God? What's the revelation of God that we get? What does it reveal to us about his nature and who he is? When we look at this fourth commandment, we can see a part of God's heart for his people. The Sabbath, it's a beautiful thing. Henry Beecher once said, "A world without a Sabbath would be like a man without a smile, like a summer without flowers, like a homestead without a garden. It is the most joyous day of the week." This commandment shows us the love and the kindness of our God. It was out of his love and kindness for his creation that the Sabbath was birthed. God wanted what was best for his people. He wanted there to be a day to look forward to. God knew that many people would put their own self-worth in both their own productivity and as well as the productivity of others. God knew that he had designed them to need a day of rest, at least every seventh day. And out of God's mercy for his people, he set aside that day that could be more joyous than any other. We can also see here that God values and desires the worship of his people. This is why God says in Exodus 20 verse 9, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. This is a day set apart from the normal chores and the work required during the rest of the week, a day dedicated to the Lord." Ultimately, this is why this commandment is finished off at the end of verse 11 with, "Therefore the Lord blesses the Sabbath day and made it holy." God valued and desired his people to specifically focus on him, to remember all that he has done for them, and to bring the praise and worship that he desires. Okay, so now we can see a bit more about the heart of God. What does this reveal then for us? What is our own confrontation, and how does it give us deeper insight into our character, into our own character? Well, this commandment actually reveals a few things about us. The first is that we can easily be wrapped up and absorbed in what we do, especially when it comes to work. There can be for a multitude of reasons. It could be because of an incessant desire to build wealth and prestige. It could be because we put our faith more in material possessions rather than our God. We feel we have to work to survive. Maybe it's because we are perfectionists and maybe take this a little bit too much pride in the things that we do, forgetting that God is the one who enables us. For many people, it's just simply that their identity is wrapped in what they do, not in who they are in Christ. That's a big one. The second insight that this commandment gives us is that we're not machines. We're not designed to work day after day after day after day after day without rest. In fact, it shows us that we work better and more efficiently if we take time off at least once every 7 days. It reminds me of a story about a father and a son who were having a wood chopping competition. For argument's sake, let's call them Jared and Steve. Now, Jared one day challenged his dad, Steve, to an all-day wood chopping contest. Jared worked really hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. Now, while Steve had a leisurely lunch and he took several breaks throughout the day, at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that his dad had chopped substantially more wood than he had. I don't get it, Jarrett said. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. But you didn't notice, said Steve, grinning, that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest. And that's the thing about taking a rest day, observing the Sabbath. It was designed to be a day of recuperating of both the mind, the body, and the soul. A day to put aside our normal everyday work and instead rest from our labours and bring worship to our God. It is a day that we can, for want of a better illustration, sharpen our blades. Proverbs 27:17 has hit the nail on the head. This is a proverb that there's heaps of people have this as their favourite. Can you remember what it is? Yeah. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The third thing that this command reveals is pointed out in the explanation part of this command, the second half of verse 10, where it says, on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. God recognizes that as humans we try and find loopholes or ways to get around what he has commanded. God's dealing with an attitude that says, I won't work on that day, but there's nothing stopping me to force my workers or family from picking up the slack on that day. Nothing stopping me from making the animals continue to go about and do stuff. Instead, God is saying, there's no loopholes. This day is for all to find rest on. This day is a holy day put aside for your rest from everyday work and for the worship of the Lord. So what then is the instruction that we can receive with this command? What does this commandment mean we should do or do differently under the grace of our God? Eugene Peterson describes the Sabbath as that uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing. I love that. Well, again, as with most of these commands, it's a fairly simple answer as to the instruction, as to what it is that we can do, as to what it is that we can, how we can look at this in a practical way. Firstly, make all effort to put the Sabbath day aside as a day of rest. And that is to make the Sabbath day free from your general work. We do this in acknowledgement in a practical way that our work is not the be-all and end-all of our life, but that we have a God who supplies all our needs. The Sabbath reminds us to put our hope and trust in God. It's a testimony to the world that we acknowledge who God is and that we trust God to provide for our needs. It gives us time, as Eugene said, to cease focusing on what we're doing and to see the wonder of what God is doing. How cool is that? Secondly, make every effort to spend time worshiping God for who he is and what he's done for us. One of the reasons why we've been called to observe the Sabbath is because it is good for us to be reminded that God is the reason for our very existence and continued being. Everything that we have and do is because of the blessings of our God. As believers, when we have the Sabbath, we are acknowledging that we trust in God to provide for our needs. Martin Luther, speaking on the Sabbath, said, "The spiritual rest which God especially intends in this commandment is that we not only cease from our labor and trade, but much more than that, that we let God alone work in us and that in all our powers, we do nothing of our own." So we're completely reliant on God is what he is saying. And the Sabbath is an ongoing testimony to that fact. Thirdly, we should observe the Sabbath because of what our God has done for us. We've been called to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Deuteronomy 5:12 tells the Israelites to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. It then goes on to say in verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The Israelites were encouraged to remember how God had saved them from the bounds of slavery in Egypt. We also should take time to remember our own salvation. As Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, shed his blood on the cross as he died for our sins, and then claimed victory over sin and death as he rose from the dead on that third day. We have been set free. We were once dead in our transgressions, but by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been made alive as our eternal salvation has been secured. Something worth taking time to remember and to praise our God for, don't you think? This leads well into our last area, the promise. One of the beautiful things for us to remember about the Sabbath is that it was never designed to be a burden on people. The Jewish nation and some Christian denominations take the Sabbath to the nth degree. You can only walk so many steps on this day. You can't even set a table or prepare food to eat on this day. According to our religious leaders of Jesus' day, Jesus wasn't even allowed to do miracles, good works, to heal a man on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was for rest and worship. If Jesus wanted to heal, he could do it any other day, they said. But they just missed the mark, didn't they? Sometimes we can too. Jesus explained to the Pharisees in Mark 2, 27 and 28. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus was telling them that while the Sabbath was for rest from one's work to praise God, Jesus had authority to speak into this whole topic because the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. When we realize what Jesus is saying here, we can better understand another famous verse when he says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, I'll read it for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Think on this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, in a sense, is our Sabbath. To wrap this commandment up, let me encourage each of us in this. We would not go amiss to remember that we should worship our Lord every day with a grateful heart. We're not confined to one special day a week to show our love and gratitude to our God, are we? In saying that, our God, who knows better than you or I, has specifically called for us to put aside a day of rest, a day separate from our normal daily grind, a day where it's beneficial for us all to come together as a church family, united under Christ, to exercise our gifts, both spiritually and natural, to the glory of God and for the uplifting of his people as we serve one another, worshiping our God and bringing further glory to that name that is above all names, Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and what it is that you have done for us, Lord. I just ask that you would be with us now, Lord, as we continue to consider your day, as we consider what to honour the Sabbath might mean. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would touch each of us, Lord. Convict us where we need convicting, Lord. Rejoice with us where we can rejoice. Lord, let us renew that day, Lord, in our minds and our hearts, that day of rest, Lord, that day where we can specifically focus on you, that beautiful day which is called the Sabbath. Lord, help us to be able to honour you in obeying this command, Lord, as you would have us do. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus, and I thank you that we are not under law, but we are under grace, Lord. But even as with most things, Lord, out of our heart, we would want to worship. Lord, out of our heart, we would want to put that special day aside so that we can join with others who believe as well. We can serve one another, Lord, with a joyful heart and Lord, that we can worship you. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.